Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed, and Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, brother?
I'm well. I am involved in a drama production down in Columbus, Mississippi. We're doing The Sound of Music, and I just have a very, very little part, right? Just in one scene at the end. But anyway, it does require me to drive down, which is about an hour from here, and be there like at 5:30 or 6.
For practice.
Last night, I hadn't quite gotten everything I needed to get done here before I had to leave. So I left, and I came in an hour early this morning. Well, I usually try to get here by 7. My alarm went off at 4:00 this morning, so I am tired.
You're not responsible for what you said.
Not responsible. It might take a beat for me to answer.
You're
anything.
In The Sound of Music. That's the play.
The hills are alive.
Yeah, yep. Your Julie Andrews lacks a little love, but keep working on it.
All right.
So what part do you play?
I am Admiral von Schreiber. On Schrader.
Is that one of the Nazis?
Yes, I'm a Nazi. They're right.
I'm going to say, well, I had my suspicions all along.
According to Greg Gutfeld, you can do anything you want to me.
That's not going to help us with the Southern Poverty Law Center's ratings of our ministry.
Well, he is a bad guy.
Papers, please.
Papers, please. So in the play, okay then.
Yep. So anyway, I just say that to Musical. Sam a little. A little tired today.
I understand.
Before we get too far, I wanted to say, if you haven't been to the Monterey Bay, that's where you need to go.
Oh, I want to go there.
You need to talk to Steve about places in, what, California mostly?
I could tell you California, Colorado, Oregon.
That's right. You lived in Colorado.
All those places.
But now, yes, that's a separate trip.
17 miles. Well, it's not. It's about 8 hours. 10 hours from San Diego, 8 hours or so.
But how far from, let's say, Las Vegas to there? To where?
To Monterey.
You're talking about Pebble Beach golf course and all that?
17-mile drive. The most, I would say, and I've seen a lot, the most beautiful place on earth.
Where is?
17-mile drive, which is a...
From where to where?
It goes from Pebble Beach to Monterey, or right in along the coast there.
All right. How far... I'm not going to be able to do that probably on this trip.
From Las Vegas?
Maybe a separate trip. Because I want to see the Sierras, too. And I just can't be going a month and a half.
I'd appreciate it if you weren't. Ed, you're hosting the show for the next 60 days.
Right. Wait, are you looking this up on Google or something?
I'm seeing how far it is to...
This is really great radio, guys. So I'm just going to tell you.
Well, I do want to see. I want to see the Sierras. That's what you call it, right?
So Nevada. It's 8 hours.
Lake Tahoe.
Oh, area. Beautiful! It's 8 hours from Las Vegas to Monterey. If you don't want to go that far, and you do want to see both, there's a really pretty drive, which is it's in the wilderness. It's behind the Sierra Nevadas. In other words, the Sierra Nevadas are on the backside of California, and between that and Nevada, there's a valley, a road that you can take all the way up to Tahoe.
Okay,
and I've done that a couple times. It's really fun, and it's if you like beauty and scenery without having like a lot of restrooms.
That's where I'm going.
Not a lot of restrooms.
Not a lot of restrooms.
Restrooms are pull over, honey.
Yeah. No, you'll go through. You go by Lake Mono. You go through Bishop, California. It's pretty. Although I wouldn't. I would say still. Go down to Monterey. You can't miss Monterey.
Okay.
Especially you as a golfer.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they let me on that golf course, but I'd love to see it anyway.
What is your handicap?
It doesn't matter.
I'm handicapped, all right.
If you got the green and you've given them enough time, they'll let you play.
If you've seen my swing, Yes, I'm very handicapped on golf, but it's still fun. All right, so let me just mention this too. I talked about our Israel trip 2024. We're getting registrations every day now. I didn't know it would take off like this.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we're near capacity. I'm just saying that we got like 15 last 2 days.
Wow.
So this could be full by June or July.
Right.
By July probably. But it may or may not be. I'm just
You're talking about March.
Yeah, I'm talking about we're going in March 2024 to the Holy Land. I think I've been 30 times, I counted up. Yeah. Tours to the Holy Land that we lead. My wife and I, Allison, my sons, Wesley and Walker, they're going they're
going to learn how.
Yeah, and they're learning so that when their old man
says this is the last
this
trip.
Is the last trip that they can take over. Like I did for my dad.
Right.
So we're going in March 2024 to Israel, and if you want to go, or if you just want to look at the trip, the itinerary and the cost, and it's expensive. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like $4,800 for a person to go, but it's all inclusive except for lunch. But it's expensive to travel anywhere today.
Right.
Right? Everything's going up. Thank you, Joe Biden.
Because it's 7 days, anyway, right? 7 days in the Holy Land?
No. Yeah, but the trip's like 9 days total.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the website for the itinerary, the cost, and everything. TWHolyLand.com. It's a new website, by the way. TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com. I kept the same pictures up there for 12 years on the old website. Yeah. Walker finally said, "Dad, this is embarrassing."
You
hadn't looked like that for years.
Well, he said you got to update this thing.
Actual picture of King David. That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, it just had that website up there, and
it was functional.
It was functional. Did what I wanted to. Told him the price, how to register, and the itinerary. I mean, you need a lot of fancy bells and whistles for a website to be effective. That's what was my attitude. And Walker was saying this looks like 2002. So anyway, we upgraded. So the website jumps out at you now. So go there and watch the video and see the new website, TWHolyLand.com. Are you going to do that right now?
Yeah.
Look at this thing. I had nothing to do with it. But watch it. See those boats moving fast on the Sea of Galilee?
Oh, flag. Folks, you should go to this just to see this.
And then you can watch the trailer where I'm on the Mount of Olives. Talking. See that?
Oh yeah. All right.
I'm on the Mount of Olives there that day talking. All right, so check it out, TWHolyLand.com. And you might say, "Well, Tim, is it safe to travel to Israel?" To which I would respond, "We're only going to be in New York for a few short hours."
Ba-da-boom. So it's
safe. You're safer in Israel than you are any big city in America. Let me just tell you that.
Right.
We're not going to get bus jacked.
Is that a thing?
There's no
not in Israel. It's
there's
not.
No bus jackings in Israel. Okay. So, Steve, we're gonna get serious right now. In all seriousness, I want to play. I want you to set. Do you want to set this up, or you? Can you set that up?
I can.
Okay, we talked last hour about the weaponization of the, in particular, the federal government against Christians and conservatives and Republicans.
Yes.
That's happening.
Yeah.
God bless Jim Jordan. He's about the only one out there. His committee, they meet like 21 hours a day because there's so much to talk about and investigate and explore. I need to pray for that guy, and I'm serious. Jim Jordan, the representative from Ohio, he's in charge of the oversight committee there on the House of Representatives. But anyway, you want to set that up? This is an example of what we're talking about.
So back a year or two ago, there was a pro-life man named Mark Houck, who was, as he as he did with his family. One of his sons and he were in front of an abortion clinic. They were praying, and they
Where? Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia. Thank you. And they got kind of accosted by some guy. A man came up to his son and started hassling his son. Mark Hout came and shoved him away from his son. Well, the police came and looked at it and said, "Oh, there's nothing to see here. Go home." Well, he got a little notification later that the FBI, the Justice Department, was going to launch an investigation using the FACE Act, which is Freedom of Access to Clinics and to Clinic Entrances, something the Democrats put in that says you can't restrict people from going into an abortion clinic. You have to give them so much room. Well, long story short, you're about to hear Mark Hauck. He was in a testimony yesterday in a committee that is examining abuse of the FACE Act, and he told the story about what happened. Now, he was told he was in an investigation. He told the FBI, "If you want me to come in, just let me know, and I'm on the way. You don't bother me to come into my house. I'll come to you." And this is his testimony yesterday. Cut 10.
On September 23rd, my home was raided by 10 unmarked and marked units, state troopers, federal law enforcement personnel. I had 5 federal agents on my doorstep at 6:30 in the morning with long guns pointed at me and my 7 children. They banged on the door and they said, "Open up." They did not even declare who they were that day. They didn't even ask me, "Could you please open the door with the FBI?" They just said, "Open up." I went to the door. I was up. I said, "Who is it?" They said, "It's the FBI, open up." So I opened up the door peacefully. I said, "Please stay calm. I have 7 babies in here." They pointed M16 guns at me and my wife. My wife comes down and says, "Do you have a warrant for his arrest?" They said, "We're taking him with or without a warrant." My wife said, "You can't do that. That's kidnapping."
That was part of his testimony.
Well, that was his opening statement.
His opening statement.
You should have, some of the Democrats... always using the word so-called pregnancy centers. What are you doing talking about churches being vandalized? We're here to talk about abortion clinics and so-called pregnancy centers. Well, the FACE Act covers churches, by the way. You can't vandalize or block the entrance to a church either because of that.
Okay, so first of all, let me just toss this in really quickly because I don't want to rehash what we said in the first hour. But we did talk about, Tim, what life in the United States would look like if the progressive left gets their way. That, what happened to Mark Hauck, is what life would be like with a weaponized Justice Department. Let me say about the FACE Act. Now, if I got this right, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. When the FACE Act was passed, what some pro-lifers were doing is they were chaining themselves to the front doors of abortion clinics so that they could not be opened. Now, I personally don't think that's the right approach to take on the part of pro-lifers, all right? Because if you say it's okay to do that, then you have to be okay with people who don't like churches chaining themselves to the churches and not letting people inside. There's got to be a different way to handle our approach to the pro-life issue. But in response, the Democrats primarily passed the FACE Act, which says you can't, basically says you can't do that.
I have it in front of me, actually.
You can't block these entrances to the clinics, which makes what happened to Mark Hauck so egregious. He wasn't in front of the clinic doors. He wasn't even on clinic property. He was on the sidewalk
across
on the corner. Was he on the across the street?
I think he was across the street.
But he was on the corner. This individual, an escort, mm-hmm. doesn't even work for the clinic, but he's a volunteer that escorts women who want to go into the abortuary, the murder mill. He's the one who walked down to Mark Hauck and his son, got in his, whatever it was, 12 years old, son's face. Mark Hauck pushed him. So that is how egregious the behavior is of these leftists. And the fact that Democrats aren't on Mark Hauck's side shows you what their world would be like, this country would be like, if they got to do everything they wanted.
It's a scary place.
Listen, don't forget in this story that the local police were called.
Yes.
Yes.
The local police came and investigated it and said, no foul, no harm. Everybody, right. Everybody go home.
Right.
Philadelphia, the Philadelphia district attorney, found no grounds to charge Mark Houck. This clinic escort took Mark Houck to civil court to sue for damages. The case got thrown out.
Okay. So who authorized the who at the FBI authorized them to go to his house with long guns drawn without a warrant and pointed at his wife and him? You just heard his testimony.
Yes.
Who authorized that? See,
we'll never know unless the FBI
unless Elon Musk buys the FBI.
True.
Somebody's already bought it.
Oh.
But see, whoever authorized that at the FBI needs to be called before the a congressional committee,
right,
to answer for it.
Yeah.
One other thing about that. So, because these are real life examples of how the FBI and other federal agencies we could talk about have been weaponized against conservatives and Christians. Okay, you had that example right there with Mark Houck. But last week, give you another example. There, not only is the FBI seemingly on the attack in many ways, I don't know if many ways is a in some ways, as an example here with Mark Houck, attacking, going against American citizens,
right,
politically motivated. But last week, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, who was appointed by President Trump and remained after Biden took over, he said that the FBI would not meet the subpoena that the House of Representatives has issued,
yes,
about the Biden...
Some documents, a specific letter, I think, that they're looking for.
That documents the Biden money that was made while his son, Hunter Biden, while he was VP.
Yep.
I got this right?
Right, you do.
Okay, so Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said, we're not giving it. He didn't say it like this, but this is what he said. We're not going to respond to the subpoena by the House of Representatives. We've written a letter to them, and we don't really care.
What?
So that's in essence what he said. Now, he wouldn't say it like that. He would say, well, we're protecting confidential sources and so forth and so on. And I'm like going, no, let's cut to it. Who has authority? The House of Representatives or the FBI? Who has constitutional authority? My view is, I think this is the constitutional view, is the House of Representatives are the people's representatives, not the
oversight. Given oversight,
yeah,
in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that they have to make that letter public. If the letter does contain sensitive information, the members of the House can go look at it in what's called a skiff.
That's true.
And they don't have to reveal it, but they need to see it.
That's true. But you know what I would argue? And when I argue, I'm right. I would say this. I don't care if there is sensitive material in there. I don't care if there are names in there. I do care. You can work it out if you're reasonable. The bottom line is you, the FBI, have been subpoenaed by the House of Representatives to turn over a document, and you don't have the right to determine whether you're going to do that or not. That's my issue, because if you're going to say, yes, we can't because of A, B, C, D, E, guess what? The FBI can always come up with a A, B, C, D, E on why they want to why they don't want to turn over a document to the House of Representatives. It appears to me that the FBI is running cover for Joe Biden.
Not only that, the FBI disbanded I think we talked about this yesterday. They disbanded because of a whistleblower that said that
IRS, not the FBI.
IRS did this.
IRS. I'm sorry. Yes, it was the IRS. So, but, yeah, what the FBI is going to start doing, and they're going to start putting at the top of every piece of paper, all the names of our spies in Russia are, and then they go down with whatever they have to write about. Then there's classified information on that document. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't release
it. What about the FBI thumbing its nose at the House of Representatives?
Well, listen. I want to walk back. I was being a wise guy when I said somebody's already bought the FBI. When Steve was talking about maybe Elon Musk,
you better call your house and tell Diane what's going to happen this afternoon.
Oh,
we'll talk like that.
Yeah. I want to say this. I do believe. I honestly do believe there are probably a lot of lower level FBI agents who are probably horrified about what's going on. I have to believe that.
You
I got to hold on
your
to
field
that.
Agents across the country.
Yes, I got to believe these are the kind of the bread and butter FBI agents.
Oh, sure. I agree with that.
Who are pawns in a much larger game. I have to believe that because the FBI has a long and distinguished and important role in the United States. But the people at the top, that's what I'm talking about.
For the last six years.
Who appeared increasingly to be corrupt and are using the instrumentality of the FBI and weaponizing it against political opponents. But I absolutely agree. This is an egregious abuse of its constitutional authority. They are subject to oversight with Congress, and they have no excuse. If there were a couple of names redacted, and I'm sure Congress would be fine with it. But they want to see this letter, and the FBI has no right to refuse to turn that over. They're considering contempt of Congress charges, which I think has never been. Is this with Christopher Wray?
Yeah, you remember Kevin McCarthy, the House Speaker last week, said, I'm going to call Christopher Wray and we're going to have a heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, Christopher Wray didn't respond in terms of turning over the document. That again, it's under subpoena.
Yes.
Okay, this isn't please send over.
Right. If you've got time.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has introduced articles of impeachment to get rid of FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Yeah. Well, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, he was appointed by Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. Trump says, former President Trump was asked about this, I guess it was by Sean Hannity, to which he said, well, President Trump said he was recommended to me by Chris Christie, right?
And former governor of New Jersey.
And that's why I hired him. And I think he was universally praised, Christopher Wray, at the time. It wasn't. So President Trump wasn't making a – in fact, President Trump said, I wanted to appoint somebody that Democrats and Republicans could agree on.
Right.
As far as being FBI director.
Because – the FBI director is not supposed to be political.
Right. It's supposed to be apolitical.
It's supposed to be apolitical. That's why both parties should be able to agree on appointing an FBI director.
Yes. Yes. Now, President Trump was asked about this the other day by Sean Hannity after we see the way that Christopher Wray has operated the FBI. I'm sure he's a good person. You'd probably like to, you know, go to a ball game with him, but as FBI director, he's overseen some pretty egregious activities.
Right.
And President Trump said, which I disagree with President Trump on this, President Trump was asked about Christopher Wray, his job performance, and President Trump said, well, the jury's still out on that.
Yeah, where are the arrests on those who have burned down churches or leaked the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court? Okay, FBI? You're over here weaponizing against Mark
Houck.
Right. How about doing your job over here?
Right, right. I do think President Trump, truth be told, he regrets hiring Christopher Wray. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.